Chapter 6. One day, after she had left her lover to return home, she walked by the church where she had studied at as a young girl. Ah, those peaceful days! She then remembered the first months of her marriage, her walks in the garden, dancing with the Viscount at La Vaubyessard. Then she thought of Léon, who seemed like a faraway memory. And yet, she told herself, I love him! No matter, she still wasn't happy, and she never had been. Why was her life so insufficient? Oh, why did she not have someone noble, strong, handsome, and tender to love her? Her life was nothing but lies. She was never satisfied with anything in her life. The loveliest kisses upon her lips only made her wish for more. She no longer worried about money. Love was her only desire. However, one day, a short individual with a bald head came to deliver a bill from Leroux's shop. She could not pay the bill and told him to return next week. But the following day, she again received the bill, which frightened her. She ran to Leroux's shop. He must help her, but he would not. She cried. She even called him her dear Monsieur Leroux. That evening, she persuaded Bovary to write to his mother to send money. Her mother-in-law replied that there was no more money to send. She began selling her old gloves and hats and other things in the house. Then she would pack everything away and forget about it. The house was quite sad-looking now. Tradesmen were now seen leaving with angry faces, and little Berthe was now wearing stockings with holes in them. After dinner, Charles used to walk around the garden alone. Then he took Berthe on his knee and tried to teach her to read. The little girl was not used to learning, and would soon look up at him and start to cry. After a while, the child wanted her mother.
Call your nanny, dear,
said Charles.
You know Mummy doesn't like to be disturbed.
Madame Bovary spent her days and nights reading fantastic novels of romance or horror. As she read, she sometimes screamed out in terror, and Charles came running in. Oh, go away, she would say. She would often think of her lover. Their meetings were her happiest of times, and they must be splendid. When he couldn't pay for everything himself, she paid, which happened nearly every time. He told her that they could be just as comfortable somewhere else, in a cheaper hotel. She refused. One day, she handed him a bag with 6 silver spoons inside, a wedding gift from old Rouault to his daughter, and told him to sell them. Afterwards, he decided that his mistress was becoming quite strange, and that perhaps, after all, he should not see her any more, as many people had suggested to him. Léon had promised some time ago not to see Emma again, but could not keep that promise. Now he was sorry he had broken that promise, as she was causing him quite a lot of trouble in town. Besides, he was soon to be the chief clerk. He must give more attention to his work. It bored him when Emma would suddenly begin to cry on his chest. They knew each other too well now. She was as bored with him as he was with her. Emma had discovered that love affairs had all the boredom of marriage. One afternoon, she returned home from meeting her lover. When she reached home, Félicité pointed to a piece of paper nearby. A document had been delivered while she was out. She was frightened by the words.
By order of the law, to Madame Bovary, within 24 hours, £320 must be paid, or all her furniture and possessions will be removed.
What was to be done? 24 hours. She had borrowed so often and had not realized the total amount. She ran to Leroux's shop. It's a joke, I suppose, she casually said to him as she walked in.
Did you think I would supply you with goods and money forever?
He asked her. Couldn't you?
No.
But let's talk it over, she said as she cried.
It's too late.
Please, Monsieur Leroux, just 2 or 3 more days, she asked.
That's too bad,
he said as he closed the door behind her.